Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 7, Working with the Ego. So as I mentioned in the previous lecture, the ego seems to appear at times when it's not really there, and sometimes does not seem to appear when it really is there. So what is it that we do in seventh grade to help to elicit the ego here and there, and also help to bring it as what T.S. Eliot would call an objective correlative to the students, to let them know there's something beyond that very powerful astral body that is working with them so strongly. And just to say another word about the astral body, it won't be the last word I say. It's hard to leave it when we're working with adolescents. But, you know, the astral body is our work with it, and the degree of success that we have here and there, this is in a way what most people connect with Waldorf education in the middle and upper grades, and even to some extent the high school. When students stand up in eighth grade to talk about their experiences, they may say something about the subjects they learned. You know, you hope they'll say something and that they'll say something correct. But basically what they're going to say is, this group of friends that I've made, we will never leave each other. And I didn't think that I had any friends until I came to this school. You know the story. And this, of course, pulls on everyone's heartstrings, and it's really beautiful. And generally, the parents will say the same thing. It's all about the social connections, the relationships. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's beautiful. But to some extent, the fact that that is all that people ever talk about, and I would say to you, you know, send away to schools as I do for their newsletters and see what parents said this June. Very often schools proudly will present remarks by the students and or the parents at the eighth grade graduation. And you'll see that it's all extremely astral. There's almost nothing of a real ego quality there. What this did to my child's ego, how the teacher and I met as two egos, no, it's not going to be there. And it's interesting as well that, you know, if you are really working out of the ego, when you develop your ego, it's not an easy matter, and it's a painful matter, because it is a little bit like the words of Jesus, you know, leave your mother and father and follow me, that it really is an incredible assertion of independence. It is the last of our births, the last of our umbilical cords to be severed. It's already beginning in adolescence, but it's not an easy matter. And if we really stimulate egoity in the upper grades and to a greater degree in the Waldorf High School, if you have one or not, what should happen then is that in the end, students leave that school, and that's that, which is to say, to put it another way, that a Waldorf Alumni Society is an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. The healthier a class, the more that the teacher was able to bring something of the quality of ego to them, the less they need to revisit that school, you know, in their 10th and 20th and 30th reunions, the less they need to hang around with one another and talk about the good old days. That is all very astral. That's why, you know, these reunions are such a big deal for most people, because generally in our culture, the ego is not touched by education. But it should be. And it's kind of a pity that, of course, Waldorf schools always strap for cash, see the alumni as a possible new source of income. Ha, ha, ha. They've educated those alumni, of course, to be completely anti-capitalist, and very often they're as broke as the teachers. But still, let's give it a chance. So, unfortunately, we are really, in a way, prolonging this astral connection between the children and one another, between the alumni and the school and the school community. A healthy school would have very low alumni turnout. And if they do need to have a reunion, it would be healthier to have it somewhere else other than the school. But those words will undoubtedly go unheeded. So this is how difficult and tricky it is to really be working with the ego. It would not necessarily make for tearful speeches in the eighth grade graduation in which everyone bids a sad farewell. It would actually perhaps make such occasions more joyful, as children with enough of that spark of the ego have a sense that they are able to turn their back on the past and move into the future. This is really what would mark success for Waldorf grade school education, for the class-teacher relationship with the children, that the future starts to count for more than the past. So this is a critical matter, and I don't think Waldorf is going to continue its stream of success, such as it has been, in very far into the 21st century, unless we have more of an understanding of these streams of time and the one that we want to start to touch now. So how do we work with this ego in the seventh grade? How do we help it arise rather than sinking deeper into the astral body? What I used to tell parents in meetings from late sixth grade on, now and then, was, your children and I are having a race. I am trying to pull them into a dim understanding, at least, of what it is to be an adult, and they are trying to pull me back into my adolescence. And I'll tell you, you know, by and large, they have the easier task. And this is very important, and we'll go into this further in working with parents and also the teacher's path, all of these coming up soon, that we must find our own ego. We now, it's, you know, we can't just kind of slosh around as we might have gotten away with grades 4, 5, and 6. Now we really have to find our own egoity so that the children have something still higher than what they have attained. If we are working out of our astral body in spite of our greater age and world of experience, basically they experience a kind of equality between themselves and us at this age. And we have to show them, not just by raising our voice or erasing stars from the board or threats, no class trip, no class play, whatever we feel, you know, out of desperation to do, that desperation is totally astral. We really have to be able to work out of ego. And what? How will they know we have ego? It's a matter of presence. The ego is able to flow from the future and stand still in the present moment, which the astral body cannot do. Astral body's always in movement. That's what we need it for. That's its role. The dynamic of the ego is stillness. And I would say then, where are we going to find this in the curriculum? Above all, we are going to find it in the laboratory sciences. And I would, you know, exhort you to carefully watch those instructional videos that Roberto has done, because he is not kind of spectacular and extremely funny and all over the place with what he's doing, you know, to make it fun and make it accessible to you. Though he does, as any teacher of this age is going to do, he will do that. But you really feel an ego presence there. And above all, the flame. The way in which he shows the flame and the way in which those combustion demonstrations take place. So we have the candle, we have flames there at the very beginning of chemistry, and then he comes back to the flame at the end in a fairly spectacular way. And also in the work that he does with reflection in the color and light sequences. Again, the burning of the candle. That flame is the purest image that we have in the physical world of the power of the ego. And for the children, no longer just to have the ritual, the etheric ritual of lighting the candle every morning. I know charter school teachers, you may not be allowed to do that, but that is a kind of pre-ego experience. But it's coming much more from the past. It's almost like, you know, the flame that still lives on from the spiritual world before birth. But now we're introducing the candle out of consciousness, out of a contemplative experience of it, out of an objectification, a scientific observation of it. All of this is deeply connected with ego experience. So chemistry, and to some extent the physics work as well, this is a place where one can have this stillness, this sense of one being in complete control of one's senses, that feelings are not arising haphazardly. There's an objective quality that arises in the laboratory sciences, which is very difficult to evoke anywhere else. So these science classes are of inestimable importance this year. They were in sixth grade as well, but now they are, for some children in a way, a matter of life or death, that they can still themselves and look into that stillness of the phenomena that they observe. So this is a very important experience for the children to have at this time. And this is yet another reason that it is so critical for the class teacher to be doing the laboratory sciences, not for the high school physics chemistry teachers to come down and do you the big favor of doing it for you in the right way, I put that in quotes, not for you to exchange with a male class teacher so that you'll do his history block in grade 5 if he'll come in and do your chemistry block in grade 7. Please, you know, women teachers, I beg you, don't show the girls that girls aren't good at science by withdrawing from teaching that. And male teachers as well, though more likely you have more of a connection because you went to school at a time when it was girls were told they don't have a connection to science, boys do. Whatever it is, you know, the inherent sexism in it is horrible. But nonetheless, show them that one need not be an expert to be able to appreciate science and at least on an elementary level to do science, that it is not a matter of expertise, it is a matter of being a human being. That this is where the ego becomes manifest for the human being. And don't forget that this is also the year, grade 7, where in the study of Renaissance, we are also studying the birth of modern science, which is all about ego activity. So this is the most powerful tool that Steiner gave us to bring egoity into the classroom. we will go on.